The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is February 9th, 2016. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. For anybody that likes Richard Soren, I just put his podcast we did a week ago. It's up on Motivation Muscle. Check it out. He's got some knowledge. Let me tell you, he's a blast to talk to. Steven Santangelo, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Also, our good friend John Wood, www.grasslandbeef.com, also known as U.S. Wellness Meats, full of CLA omega-3s. He grass-feds it from the beginning to the finish, and he also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. John's a great guy, too. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com, Jason Fulner, he's a good friend of ours. Basically, it's a workout log, and it's 8x6, and after the 24th workout, you can track your progress, set new goals. You can also purchase this on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. Jason sent me one. Guy's a Marine. It's just in perfect order. If you want something, instead of going out and buying a traditional whatever you're using, that's the thing. And for $5, I mean, unreal. StrongerGrip.com. They've made handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. They've also made gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling. You've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've also made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of people like you and I that love to train. And in case you haven't heard, Ryan built me a nasty sledgehammer with the FBC branding embossed right into the big head of it. This is 25 pounds. It loads to 83 pounds a shot. It's the smoothest hammer I've ever used, and we're giving one away. And our contest started for the same hammer on February 1st, and it goes to St. Patrick's Day on March 17th. This is a $350 hammer. All you have to do is send to us your biggest lift. I don't care what it is. Film it. Upload it to YouTube, put on the subject line FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash, what it is, and you can go down and describe it in obviously the box below. But I got to tell you this, and people haven't done this, please put in your email address. I have no way to get a hold of you otherwise. And you win that hammer, you're on Motivation and Muscle, whether you're a regular guest or not. You can come on the show, we'll talk all about it. And obviously, we're going to bring Ryan in either on that call or another call. So get in on that, and you can get a big, big sledgehammer. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, that's a free ebook, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Hey, here's the deal. Go out and commit to something and take action. That's all you got to do. And be patient. It's not going to happen in 90 days like all the other BS you're sold out there. Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. Strength Times Power is all shot in HD. I narrate it. Dennis does every movement in it, and the majority of these were the movements we used to knock 43 pounds off them in 6 months. But I use this for anybody I train with because I can plug them in and out. The Winner's Circle is 12 audios where I speak through everything, talks from my beginning to where I am today. There's routines. If you like the philosophy of the show, it's woven all through it. Both of them are game changers, but you got to decide what you want to do. So go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com and check those out. And also, too, last but not least, is sponsorship for the show. It's a big nut every month to run this show, but we want to be involved with people for at least – we're going to be around for at least 25 years, and we're going to be millions and millions strong. And as you know, FBC and M&M is dedicated to my brother's memory, Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy. What we're doing right now with the winter months here in upstate New York is $30 off every piece of sponsorship. Goes to MDA, buys a flu shot, and that's what killed my brother. He got a common cold, went to pneumonia, and he died. So these are some wonderful, wonderful kids and adults, and we're going to be very, very involved as we grow bigger and bigger. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. or Motivation Muscle. Sign up. Be part of our family, our listeners, and I guarantee you you'll have the best 25 years of your life. Well, today we have another new guest on the show, and everybody knows my feeling on new guests. I love to have them on because we end up usually having them again and again, which is one of the greatest things I can say about this show and the people that are involved with it. Today we have Marshall White, and he was basically recommended by Clint Darden, who's on here now every month. And Clint's done a few other ones, other gentlemen too. So we're very excited about this because anybody that Clint recommends, I go with. Marshall's a professional strongman. He qualified for the 2009 World Strongest Man. He's competed in the World Log Lifting Championships. He's an Olympic lifter and a power lifter. And I'll let him expand that even more. Comes right in. But today, as always, I'm going to introduce Marshall, and we're going to get to know him a little bit, and we're going to go from there. So, Marshall, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Give everybody a little bio about yourself, if you would, please.
I guess I've been a pro strongman for this April on my birthday. Actually, April 30th will be 10 years I've been running as a pro strongman. So, competed in the Super Series back when the Super Series was a thing. I've had a pretty decent career. Not the best by any means, but I definitely consider myself like up there on the top somewhere anyway.
Yep.
So, like you said, did the Log Press World Championships, went to World Strongest Man, all that shit, and this, that, and the other, done a bunch of domestic, done a bunch of international, done a few Olympic lifting meets, done a few powerlifting meets, done a few Highland Games. Pretty much if it's heavy, I'll pick it up and load it,
I love it. It's a beautiful thing. It's in a lift heavy.
Right.
Ha! And we've been kind of going off on this stuff, too. I had Andrew Derniat on the other day, and how am I going to say this? You know the deal with stones and everything. You got to move. You got to have speed, endurance, speed, and all that. And we hit that, and I had Ken Nowicki on yesterday, and I was like, you know what, man? I love all that stuff, but I just like to hear once in a while people just saying, hey, you know what? I just went and lifted something heavy, and whether I dropped it on the ground or I pressed it overhead and then dumped it off or a stone or whatever. And I'll tell you, both of those shows have really resonated with the listeners because I think sometimes we get caught up in a lot of that stuff, and we don't ever get to like, okay, you know, what are you doing today? I mean, what are you going to go out? Like in your case, you're a champion log lifter, and we had one of Andrew's friends on. Who was competing. This guy is a 230er, and last Wednesday I think I had Andrew on that morning. Jake Reynolds, I don't know if you're familiar with him. That guy at 230 did three singles with a 350-pound clean and press a log, which is pretty intense, I think. So, what's your feeling, Marshall, on all that? I mean, do you like the idea of just going in raw after something and just taking a shot at it and that's it? Or do you like both ends of it, pick something up, walk or run or whatever you're going
to
do with it?
Like, I shit you not, man. I swear to God. Like, I love lifting anything heavy, and I really don't care how it happens. Just enjoy it tremendously. I mean, I think, that's why we got into this, right? I think the reason I got into strongman specifically as my primary strength sport is just because it was so raw. It was so just so many variations of lifting. You know what I'm saying? Especially back then, there was a little bit more throwing and things like that. So I love the real technical aspect of Olympic lifting, but yep. if you follow me at all, I say that one of the reasons we as Americans aren't as good at Olympic lifting as we should be is because we I don't know, it's like somewhere along the way someone cut our balls off and said,
yeah, I agree,
this isn't against anybody like, you know, Ethan Harak or anybody like that, but dude, at some point when you're snatching and clean and jerking, you got to realize you got to move some nasty weight. You can't be up under a piece of PVC for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is too, is, you know, you're right. Like, did somebody cut your balls off? Because you see it all through society anyways. You know, my opinion, men right now are like struggling to figure out where their identity is. And I've got friends that lift and friends that don't lift. And they're in my opinion, they're kind of lost with a lot of things where, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with your confidence, man. You know, when you're not sure where you are, where you belong, you're not going to be a confident individual. And my whole thing with training has always been train as heavy as you can, learn everything you can. You know, I do everything outside pretty much. I mean, right now in New York, it's pretty cool. I got to go out tonight. I enjoy that, man. I mean, I'm not saying I don't go without heat, but I have before. I've had bars stick to my throat. I've had them stones rip friggin' skin off my chest. You know, shit like that, man. I love all that stuff. And I think you got to be a certain temperament and a personality, too, to like this stuff. Because you and I both know you're not going to attract the average guy to come back in my yard and want to lift the shit we're doing. Sure. So what do you feel? I mean, what is it you think? I mean, obviously, you've done a lot of strength sports like most people who are on the show here. What was it you think that, especially you love strongman like I do. I love rocks, man, mainly. I mean, big time. What is it you think you had in you, or what or who? And I want to ask you that too. If you had to name a strongman, what strongman had probably the presence in your life where you wanted to emulate that person?
Man, that's a tough one, you know, because back when I was doing it was shit. I guess maybe, you know, when I was a kid, I was looking up to Magnus Samuelsson probably the most.
Yeah.
You know, the just something about the way that guy kind of attacked competitions and stuff, I kind of related to, you know what I'm saying? As I've gone forward in my career, I relate much more to strongmen that are multifaceted now. You know, guys that do powerlifting meets and especially Olympic weightlifting as well. You know, someone like Misha Kokolaev, I think, is just an amazing athlete in and of himself, you know. I'm a big fan of the old school strongman style where I do wish nowadays that we didn't know events before we went into shows and things of that sort.
Exactly.
Because I felt like it was back then the weights weren't as heavy, but it did come down to, you know, you can train a little bit this and the other, but who's got the biggest balls today? You know, who's got,
who's
the strongest mother effer out here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it was interesting. I think it was the 84s. I don't know how I got out there, but I was watching clips of something before. Because speaking of Magnus Samuelsson, I put up today on our blog site. Do you remember when he arm wrestled the Mega Man?
Yeah.
I don't know why I put that up today for some reason, and everybody was like, "Holy shit! Did you hear that crack?" I was like, "Yeah, man, that was a nasty friggin'." And that ended. I don't think he ever came back again. I never remember hearing about him or seeing him. But, you know, it's real interesting. I think it was the 84s because John Powell was in it. And Greg Capps, was that his name? Capps? Yeah, it was Capps.
Are you talking about Jeff Capes?
Jeff Capes, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Jeff Capes. And there they are, man, with people in, like, dog sleds and pushing them across the friggin' icy tundra there. And I'm like, this is the way it should be because I think you got to give these guys a little bit of danger because everything now, like you said, these guys, some guys are better in different events. Some favor different guys. I just as soon have nobody know what the hell they're doing. Put them in there and just see, like you said, the biggest balls or the best dog fight you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I think that would lead to a much more exciting competition. You know, I understand why we have the events the way we do now. Obviously, we want to be taken more serious as a sport, but you know, the reality is we didn't start out as a sport necessarily. We started out as entertainment. And I always joke around that strongman, it's a monster truck show. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're not here to be pretty or anything of that sort. People want to come out and see a freak show, and they want to see some crazy stuff go down. So, you know, I wish it was kind of different, but at the same time, we're seeing weights move that we never thought would have been moved in the first place. So maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
It is, but you know what it is too? You know, I think they're trying to develop the sport where they want to make it almost like, you know, people are going to want to watch it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in their living room. I think they've tried or they're trying. Yeah. I don't know if you'll ever get that kind of stuff. I don't think the public grasps a lot of what this is about. They might be intrigued to see, you know, a guy do a 1,000-pound squat or whatever, you know, but then it's like, you know, it's not like when you're going to watch the National Football League and, you know, whatever. I don't watch football anyways, but I know that the enjoyment of that is far more reaching. But, you know, they want to make money, obviously, and the athletes need to make money. That's a big nut, even with sponsorship. But you know, what I always liked about lifting, it was out on the fringe. And that's why I think it attracted so many good people, too, because that's not a faint of heart stuff to do. And you got to really put your shit right into that, because if you don't, you get hurt, you get eliminated, you get just battered mentally, and you don't come back. I mean, I've had friends that were very good strength athletes. They got one major injury, and they never came back. Now, they came back to the extent where they could still train. They never came back mentally. They broke. They never, because it seemed like anytime they get close, they always had another injury.
Sure.
And then it became, you probably know guys like that or girls. Then it became where all they did is talked about their injuries, man. So
yeah.
You know,
and you gotta,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. You gotta get over that. And that's, you know, the major, I've been very blessed. I've only had one major injury in my career as a strongman, which was my bicep detachment. And that's why, you know, I reformulated my training and all that different stuff. And I did center a lot of my training around kind of gaining that mental aspect back, you know, doing some stuff that I didn't want to do, you know, to literally gain that confidence. So I hear what you're saying on that. I think that strongman more than probably any other strength sport does require that mental game more than, you know. And you can attest to this. Pretty much anybody that's competed in a strongman can attest to this. Man, it sucks sometimes. Right?
Hey, dude, when we all went on that big Icelandic challenge in 8, now that was the first big major thing I ever did. I mean, we were going around and lifting the biggest stones that they knew of in Iceland. And when I tore my bicep, man, and I couldn't lift, Húsafell was the last place, and I tore mine in Latra, and I was so pissed off, man. It was like, here we are with a golden opportunity. We got Toyota behind us. We're all over. I mean, I think in 4 days we covered over 1,200 miles. I mean, we were from one thing to the other. We're on one side of the fjords all over. So I tear mine, then Bill Crawford blows his out. I think he got his in Dritvik because we're lifting very heavy in Dritvik, and somebody, I don't know if they wanted a picture or they said, try it again, I want to see it. And I remember hearing that sound, and anybody that knows it, and it doesn't happen with everybody, but it sounds almost like a gunshot going off. It went, you hear this big pop like that, and he didn't feel anything. He said it was a little sore. And by then, I mean, I had mine torn. So I stayed with the group, with our, you know, all our lifting friends. And he came, he lifted that thing real easy coming out of the chute. He got three quarters of the way around the sheep pen. You just seen his arm go boof. That it just dropped. And at that point, he blew the bicep. He tore it very good. You know, from having it, the black and blue starts and all the shit kicks in. And it's like, damn it, you know. And we went back in 11 in November, and everybody's like, you're out of your mind going there because, well, the weather was really warm here and there that time of year. It's great till the day we leave. We wake up. It rained all night, and that stone is slippery to begin with, and there's nothing to put your fingers in, so to speak. And we got there, and we got caught in a storm where we were really – I think we were up over 3,000 feet it is in the mountains, and the snow caps – within, I'm not kidding you, anybody that's been there will tell you this, it had to be 10 seconds. It went from night, if you want to, or day, it was pitch black around us. I mean, black. And we had equipment, started everything, lifted the thing up. You couldn't go anywhere. The stone was just, it was just water. There's shit coming at me. It looks like somebody was shooting needles at me. The stuff was coming down so hard. And I lifted it like three or four times. And on the last time, it was coming down so hard, I had a flannel shirt on. And the back collar opened when I bent over to grab the stone. It felt like someone had taken a garden hose and shoved it right down the back of my neck. That's how much water was flowing down the back of me. I went to pick it up. At that point, believe it or not, the stone was already icing up. That was it. And even if I could get, you know, even when I took a few steps, if I even started moving that thing and ever fell because everything was icing and shit, I would have got killed, man. Because anybody that's ever been there knows that's not level land at all. You know, you're going down, you're going up. It's all shale and everything. Yeah. But you know what? I went and had a good time anyways. And this is the crazy thing about Iceland. 10 minutes later, the sun was out, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. But you know what? You know, people were saying, oh, crazy going and all this. I said, bullshit crazy, man. You know what? You go live your dream. You jump on a plane. You go to a country you've never been in. And you take a shot on yourself. What the hell's wrong with that, man?
Right.
You know, that's what it's all about. I want to ask you, Stones. This is, I mean, some of the people you've competed with at that level. Name a few that you, I mean, here's what I see. Obviously, we know who won. Brian Shaw won again this year. Zydrunas was close, and Thor. You know, I think Thor sooner or later is going to win, but I'm just wondering, you know, when is this guy going to cap this thing off? Because he's a monster athlete, man, and he just seems he can do anything. Who are some of the people you've competed with? And tell me, who do you think are some of the better stone lifters we're talking today, as far as Atlas Stones, in your opinion?
I mean, as far as who I competed with, and some of them are still active and some of them aren't. I mean, I think some of the best stone loaders I've ever competed with were obviously Travis Orbemeyer,
yep,
and Dave Oslin. I competed with Dave Oslin, and we actually did a team show in Canada over this past summer in, gosh, I guess it was probably August.
Yep.
Yeah, something like that. And Dave always has been and always is. Probably will be a great, great stone lifter. And Dave Austin is one of the few people as a stone, you know, most people that load stones are good at stones. It's just kind of a berserker method. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
be a good stone loader, it's just like go bananas on them and load stones, right? Dave is kind of the opposite of that. He's a real technical stone loader. You know, he carries three or four different types of tacky with him, depending on weather, temperature, all that different stuff. So it's interesting to load stones with someone like Dave because you do pick up a tremendous amount of knowledge about stone loading. And of course, myself, you know, I've used the same plain elite tacky for years. I didn't even start using sleeves till last year when I got my forearms tattooed.
Nice.
Yeah, I did it to protect my forearm tattoos. So currently, you know, stones aren't as popular as they used to be. When I first started strongman, probably for the first 5 or 6 years, stones were like, that was like the thing that kind of made you a strongman. You know what I'm saying? It was like training session, so on and so forth. They're not quite as popular as they used to be. So we don't really see any what I would call stone masters anymore.
Yep.
You know, you see a lot of guys with coming up on the pressing, deadlifting and things like that. But and to that effect, you don't see a lot of what I'd call technicians anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
People like myself who are not, you know, the most statically strong athlete out there, but definitely run herd on yokes and farmers and things like that. The actual strongman events, you know, it seems like we've kind of swapped those out in favor for bigger deadlifts, bigger presses, much more static events, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you still have guys like Shaw and Zydrunas who are obviously very good at events and both have well into the high nine, deadlifts, but I just think guys like Eddie Hall and stuff, and I'm not taking anything away from any of them. I want to make that clear. These guys are phenomenal freaking athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different game right now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the guys that were just dominant, like the Travis Ortmeyers, or I don't know if you remember that stone run that Errol Haugen did at Worlds one year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yep.
I talk about that thing all the time. But that was one of the most impressive feats of strength I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You just don't have that anymore because stones aren't as important as they used to be, you know?
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I'm, you know, we've been talking a lot about log pressing, and obviously you've got some high-end knowledge on that. In some ways, I'm glad to see that the pressing is big. I mean, this is what I want to ask you, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Arnold, all right, we know that's coming up.
Sure.
Do you think that's become, I don't want to say bigger than the world's strongest man, but, I mean, you've got a lot of the same competitors in the Arnold you'd have in WSM, all right? Has that become kind of more, well, more of a showcase of different athletes, too, you think? You know, like with an Eddie Hall. You know, any of these guys coming up or guys that maybe don't make it through the first round to get to WSM, whatever it is, you know, the Giants, all that stuff. Do you think that the Arnold is becoming, is that going to become, or is it becoming more of a fixture, you think, than WSM because of the variety of athletes you got there?
Inside of the World of Strongmen, here's what I always say. I say World Strongest Man is for the best strongmen in the world, but the Arnold is for the strongest men in the world. So as an athlete myself, having been to World Strongest Man, I take great pride in that and all that different stuff.
Yeah.
But I would, just for my own personal satisfaction, I would take more pride in competing at the Arnold than I would World Strongest Man. Because I would well, I do consider myself one of the strongest, especially at that time, because I went to Worlds. I would definitively consider myself that if I'd gone to the Arnolds. You know what I'm saying?
There are
some guys that go to Worlds that I don't want to say they don't belong, but there is a political effect to everything.
I was going
to
ask you that because I know that, yeah.
And they do get in there based on some things like that. The Arnold's not like that. You gotta be a strong ass dude to go to the Arnold or you're just gonna get your ass handed to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? Well, there's a lot of things I want to ask you. let me ask you from a personal standpoint. You've been doing this a long time. If you had to pick one movement that you'd like to do day in, day out, what would it be at this point?
What like a strongman movement that I would like to train
strongman,
every day?
I don't, you can name anything you want, but if you want to limit to strongman, I'm fine with that. What would you like to do day in and day out if that's all you had to concentrate on right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'd probably say something like either a front carry, like a Hoosevelt stone carry, because I love an event, or possibly just something as simple as a power clean, because I think a power clean would transfer over to so many different things.
Yep. So, well, we were talking about that yesterday with the front squat.
Yeah.
You know, backs are great, but I think with what you do, I do, the front squat is going to translate to a stone carry, to a log lift, all that stuff. And I love, see, I do most of my stuff dead stop in the power rack because I'm pretty much alone.
Sure.
So I've gotten to that point where everything I do is dead stop, and I've gone back to 2 and 3 inch thick bars too. And I'll tell you why I've done that. I want my grip to limit what I'm moving. And I know people say, oh, you're out of your mind because you've got to drop weight because of the size and diameter of the bar. And my thing back to them is, number one, depending how long you stick with this, you will get back to that. Secondly, what's going to build your ligament, tendon, and muscle bellies like these thick bars? I mean, and if you want to be a good stone lifter, you and I both know you better have strong-ass fingers, hands, and wrists. And that's usually where you see a lot of these guys fall short, where they could have an enormous deadlift, but they'll get in and they'll try to lift a 250-pound stone. They can't budget, man.
Sure, yeah.
Because they don't have the finger and hand power. And people are like, there's no way. I'm like, yeah, way. I've seen guys fail, man, with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen guys that have deadlifted 700 pounds that can't get a fucking 250 off the ground, man. And they're all pissed off and they're bleeding. They don't know how to straddle the stone, anything like that. There's a little bit more science than brooding a stone up. Now, can you do that? Yeah, but chances are you might go down in a heap too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think now at this point, especially what I want to do, there's some things, you know, I'll tell you another thing I've brought into my repertoire too that I hadn't done for a long time, and I wish I didn't kind of drop it off, was the bent row.
Really?
Yeah, I think the bent row is phenomenal for all that stuff. And I'll tell you another thing too. When Bill Crawford was on here, we were talking, you know, the whole scope of lifting stones and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things he told me he does and he says you should try to do is take whatever size stone you want, do bent rows with it. I'll do these at the end. This isn't like a conventional bent row with a barbell or one arm with a 2-inch handle. He said, dig your fingers in and row it, you know, normally how you would. And I'm like, okay. He says, I'm telling you right now, not only will your hands and everything else grow and get thicker and you'll be able to grab a stone much better, especially with the Husafell, there's just nothing to really grab on that, and it's like talc. Right. Anybody that's ever touched it will tell you that. And if it get and it always feels wet. If it's, you know, everybody's always wiping it off. I'll tell you right now, you're never going to touch that stone. It's a bitch to try to get up anyways, but if you don't have the hand strength to do it. So I started doing that, and I'll tell you what, my hands, some days, they just look like they're going to literally explode, man. Yeah. They just look so big through the fingers and the veins all coming out and everything. And then I tried another thing. I was telling Bud Jeffries this. As he's been showing lately on Facebook where he's pressing that stone up against the top of his power rack. And I said, well, I found something I think that really works like an isometric like that. Is I'll grab one of those stones. It might only be a 100-pound stone. And I spread my feet far enough because what I do is I take that stone and grab it with my fingers as hard as I can, and then I press it right into the cement wall for an isometric hold. I do it till I fail, so if I don't move my feet, I got a broken foot, all right? So that's something else I do, and I found that, man, between that and the thick bars, lately when I'm grabbing shit, I feel like I could put my fingers through it.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. That's definitely kind of some old school strongman stuff right there. Especially Bud Jeffries is real big into that stuff. So I like Bud. I like some of the unconventional stuff he does. But, you know, it's kind of at a point now where some of that stuff is it's cool and awesome. And it's all, you know, very functional strength and stuff.
Right.
But I'm not sure it would make you a better competitive strongman. Does that make sense? Like,
no, it makes total sense. You know, I mean,
used to like bending nails and things like that. It was like, well, that's going to make you a good strongman. But now, I mean, you know, we've seen deadlift weights and log weights and things skyrocket over the past 5-6 years. But honestly, when's the last time you saw a big, nasty, heavy farmer's walk?
I love that. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And you know something too, for anybody that doesn't do them. I like to even deadlift them too, you know, grab both. And get, it's a great way, you know, here's the bottom line with things. Cause we got in this thing with sandbags. All right. And I said, you know, I wish I knew about walking stuff 20 years ago. Okay. Cause I know I could have been a way better athlete, and it's never too late, but it would have been things would have changed in a lot of different directions, but who knows, 20 years ago, you're starting out with basically a set of sand weights. And it's like, I don't know where the hell I even am right now. I'm just going by instinct, or, you know, you go down the Y, the bigger guys are kicking our asses cause we're all mouthy with them. You know, you're in all kinds of mischief to try to figure out where the hell you are. But you know, one thing I found, Marshall, was this. Sandbags, stones, obviously, but, you know, I started out, or anybody that comes here, you got to start them out with a sandbag, obviously. I'll tell you what, man. You take one of those and you're doing your step-ups, or you're doing your clean and walk with it, or I love going where I take and straddle it and go shoulder to shoulder. And just when it hits the ground, you slam it. You try to put it right through the ground. There's nothing better than carrying. And when you're doing a farmer's walk or holding a stone or holding a sandbag, just something happens to you mentally too. It's like electric, man. And it's like, I try to tell people these things, you know, all you hear this, and you know, I love to hear that word. I hate that word. I use midsection. If I hear core again, I swear to God, man. And it's like, oh, I do this for core. I'm like, you grab a pair of friggin' farmer's walk handles, and I don't care if they only weigh 50 a handle and you've never done them, go take a walk with them and tell me how your core feels, you know, tonight at 7 o'clock and then 2 days later. it's amazing how simple things like that work so many muscles from head to toe. Same thing with a sandbag. And I've always been of the premise is this. We don't sit and isolate body parts. We work head to toe. We get stronger. We get physically better. And we'll touch upon this before we're done today, because especially at your level, the whole mental aspect of things, what these things do to you. So what's your feelings on that, Marsh?
As far as the mental aspect of strongman goes, you mean?
We'll get into that. But as far as the carrying, don't you think that's something people that, whether they're lifting for a few years or say they come to you and I need you to help me out, whether it's for a sport or I just want to get a little bigger, I'm tired of getting picked on or whatever, and I want to, and you suggest carries. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that right there, the carries in general, are probably what is making strongmen such phenomenal athletes. And you'd be hard pressed to argue that strongmen aren't the best strength athletes on the planet right now. They really are. And honestly, if you took them and threw them in a lot of sports, you'd also see them excel at those as well. I think a lot of that is because we don't just work that picking things up and putting them down. We pitch it up and then put it across the room or whatever. And I think, you know what I'm saying? And I think that builds a type of strength that translates into just about everything else you can do. You know, since becoming a strongman, I haven't rolled an ankle once. I haven't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, my knee don't twist. Like, now, don't get me wrong, my quote-unquote core is thick as all get out. But at the same time, it's not like I've ever had a low back injury. I mean, I don't get injured stepping or twisting at all because of carrying shit, you know?
Yeah, and it's almost like somebody just lagged you right through the ground. That's how I look at it. It's like, be like the unmovable stone, man.
Yep.
You know, and this is, you know, when I have a young athlete here right now, that's how I've trained him the whole way. I mean, he's been here 6 months. He's almost ready for a 300-pound deadlift already. He never did a deadlift in his life. And like he says, well, my friends all do benches. I said, let your friends do benches. Don't you worry about that. You know, I mean, you're pressing overhead now. You're carrying a steel stone at 110 pounds already. I mean, you know, this is a kid that came from nowhere, man. It's like, I know that people say, well, that's not a lot. It's damn respectable for a 14-year-old kid. I got news for you. Sure. There's 25-year-olds that couldn't lift 110-pound piece of steel stone off the ground, all right? So, I mean, everything takes a little time and patience. But I think the carrying, you know, farmer's walk, I don't do my yoke like I used to, man, because there's just getting ready to go away again. You know, I got to concentrate on what I need right now to get to where I got to get. But, I mean, once things lighten up, I mean, I've had an offer, too, in December to go to Scotland to lift the Inver and the Dinnies, which I've always wanted to do. But it's all going to depend on how good the business is doing and currency flowing because, as you know, with sponsors or without, it's a lot of money, man. I mean, to go to Iceland's $3,000 for that week, you know. But I got a little smarter this time. If I go during the season – even though it'll be a little bit more expensive, you know, you got the inn in Husafell, and I found there is a hotel not that far from there. I don't know if it's walking distance or very close. This time I'll do that. I am not staying in Reykjavik because I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, you'll take a wrong turn or get lost somewhere.
Right.
And you'll know it because once you're way up in the mountains, you know, you've asked where to go. But I would do that for a couple reasons. Number one is when you get there, I don't want to be traveling an hour and a half, a couple days from now. And I want to be, if I can walk from where I'm staying to the sheep pen, hey, that, you don't think that's good. And you know what? You do it once, maybe the next day you feel like doing it again before you leave, because I want to get back to Latra, which will be a 6-hour ride on the other side of the fjords. And I'm going to get that bastard stone that ripped my arm, man. I'm going to get that son of a bitch, man, if it's the last thing I do. So there you've got 5 stones. You got the 3 that goes on a pedestal, and I rip mine on the biggest one. And then they got the Judas stone there, and then they got the 600-pound column stone that you have to just try to pull up off the ground. But that was a big disappointment, and I want to get back, and I want to show it that I came back. It might be 7 years later, but I don't really give a damn. You know, I got a score to settle, but I want to go to Husafell first and get that puppy. You know, that's that's where I really want to be. I'd like to do the whole tour, but it's just there's too much. If you're even if you're going with somebody else, you might be able to do it. But I mean, that's a whole week of, you know, 1,200 mile driving that you got to really map out. So those two places would definitely suffice. And get to Scotland this year, that'd be a banner year, man.
Yeah,
banner
yeah.
year. And you know, I'll tell you another thing I'm very interested in is Basque lifting.
Oh, really?
And, oh yeah, I'd like to go to Spain next and 17. I'd like to learn it. If I had enough cash where I could stick around Spain for a month, and I know that's you're not going to learn everything in a month, but if you can get the detail down, yeah, that might be something I'd like to get into. That's some pretty serious ass stone lifting, man.
Yeah, it is. I'm surprised that we haven't had more of those elements put into strongman as of yet. I mean, you're talking about some guys that lifted what 700 pound stones or?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And they aren't weighing 400 pounds either, my friend.
No, yeah. It'd be interesting if some of the elements of that sport ever came into strongman, because I think that obviously I think the guys would do really well at it. So.
Oh, I do too. You know what? I'd just like to see. I'd like to see. Like we were saying, you know, you don't know what they are. We throw a new wrinkle in every year. Say it is bass stone lifting and they don't know. I mean, I know everybody wants to be prepared and, you know, we don't want any injuries or anything. But you know what? I'm a big believer. Those are the ones that got the real mental tenacity that can even pull something like that off. See, that's what I want to see.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I like seeing the 1, 2, 3 shit. I love it. All right. But I'd like to see someone get put out on a friggin' island and swim back. And, you know what I mean? And say, hey, damn it, I did. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And if you want, man, strap that bass stone to your friggin' back and see if you can make – that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, we're always talking on the show here about putting yourself out, making yourself uncomfortable. Like I was always telling that in Rocky Balboa, the last movie he did – I don't remember if he said in the movie or I listened to an interview with Stallone, and it was really good because, you know, they've got him on and they're always saying, well, why another one? And you know, they seen it and they said how good it was and blah, blah, blah. And Stallone said something that really hit home with me big time. I've never forgotten. It was like this. He takes a tennis ball and he said he'll squeeze it so many times and so hard his hands feel like they're going to explode. And they're like, well, why would you do that? And he says, because I want to make myself feel uncomfortable. Because he said in life, there's situations to where you're uncomfortable and it's going to basically dictate who the hell is going to walk out that door and who's going to sit there like an obedient servant. So I always thought that was a hell of a comment because you don't, you know, we do it maybe consciously, maybe self-consciously, we know, but most people don't want any pain, man. They can't deal with anything that's going to test their resolve or push them. So tell me, you know, this is interesting, especially at the levels you've been at and are at. What do you feel? I mean, what's going on with you mentally, man? I mean, I'll admit when I walked up to that stone at first, I was a little nervous, man. I mean, what you can call it fear, anxiety, whatever. If you don't have that in you, you're dead. Because
yeah.
you take and you convert that. But what's going on in your head, man? Let's go over like WSM when you qualified. I mean, I know you had to be happy and proud as hell. But when you had to go in for the first qualifier to keep going, what was going on with you?
World's Strongest Man was a little bit different kind of in general because it was set up for a TV show. So it wasn't like any show I'd ever done. Honestly, probably what got me bad at Worlds was nervousness. I was really nervous at Worlds. Which is funny because that's probably the only show I've ever really been nervous at. Not saying that I haven't been nervous before. And I'm the type of lifter. Most people know me. I have a real good sense of humor and a lot of stuff. I'm always busting balls and everything of the sort. I operate better if I'm happy. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yep.
When I go into a show, especially one that's a big show or anything of the sort, and when I did the log press and all that, you know, especially if I'm going to hit a PR in my head, I tell myself, remember that day you became a 900 pound deadlifter or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So honestly, for me, it's almost sheer excitement. I'm literally almost at the point where I've already completed it in my head, and I'm just excited that it already happened, if that makes any sense.
No, I got you.
So I do get nervous, and I do get anxious to a certain extent, but it's more like, I used to joke around that I would get stone boners. I'd be like, God, there's a 5-pound stone, I'm going to get a stone boner to lift this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know, totally.
Yeah. I don't get, I'm not concerned about injury or anything of the sort. I don't really hear much when I lift. I'm just so, this is going to sound so fucked up. I am so freaking happy to be lifting heavy that it's almost all consuming, you know?
Yeah. I know the feel. That's a feeling that you have to be involved in this stuff to really understand what we're talking about, because, you know, I think training, lifting, whatever you want to call it, stone lifting, the whole deal. To me, it's an honor to be able to do this and to have injuries and be able to keep coming back and showing you that you got the tenacity to make it. And
sure.
I'm telling people, and I'm sure you can lay bare witness to this too, is this stuff dominates your private life too. You can do amazing things when you've conquered this shit, when you've gone into these things, these competitions, or in your backyard, or out in 20 below weather with snow flying and everything else. And man, you know, you're faced with everything in front of you and you get it done some way. How are you not going to be a success? However you clarify success in your life, how are you not going to be when you have that type of resolve? And I try, Go ahead, man.
I say that too. I say that that's true. And actually, what's funny is the very first time I ever did a super series, it was at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And afterwards, we were at this bar and they were paying us, you know, laying out the cash for us and all this stuff. And Bill Kazmaier comes up.
Awesome.
And he's talking to him and my dad actually became pretty decent friends over time. But he's talking to me in front of my parents. And this is what he says. He goes, shit, Marshall, if any of you guys would take the dedication that you have in this sport and apply it to become rich, you'd be millionaires by the time you were 25, 26 years old. And I thought, holy crap, isn't that true? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah.
Honestly, like, when it comes down to the rest of my life, that's easy as crap compared to some of the 20 rep squats I've done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Getting up at 4:30 in the morning and going to work, that's cool. I've pulled a giant truck. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. Hey, when I was in college, my professor for all my marketing courses in business was this guy named Frank Klein, and he was he'd been a semi-pro football coach, big man. He had the big mustache. He reminded me of a big walrus kind of great guy. And the thing that was amazing, okay, was obviously he knew we were weightlifters, and right away we kind of had a bond with him, you know, not even knowing him, but he was very friendly and we got talking and stuff. And he was the kind of guy, man, he was a no bullshit dude. And he was like, I believe it was a third of our grade at the end of the year was to stand up in front of class and give a product or something you made up and sell it to the class, literally. And it was like all the pussies were moving their chairs and running out of the room, right? Because they didn't want to stand up in front of anybody. So we ended up, I had him for everything, and he was a fantastic, I mean, I used to go to New York Giant games, awesome guy. And he used to single people out, and people get really uptight, man. And I remember one day he singled me out, and I was like, okay, what's he going to, because he could be a real sarcastic dude, man. And he was like, Eric, and I'm like, yes, and he's like, I want to tell you something, and I was like, okay, and I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, and he's like, if you do outside in the business world what you do with your weightlifting, he said, you're going to be the biggest success out there, and he says, that's what I'm telling you, and I was like, well, thanks. I mean, it was a real nice thing for him to say. I can identify totally with that because We have no limits to what I feel we can do. When you've been put in the situations we've had to do, whether it's elements, whether it's someone just feels like they're pushing down on you 24 hours a day, where you got to fight out of the hole for a big lift, or, you know, you blow a lift and you're really hurting inside from it, or you got private things, you know, girlfriends, all that shit we've had to deal with where things go south and or you're just not having a good time anymore and you're trying to get your lifting right. But you know what I always say to it? when I go out in my backyard like tonight, my garage, and all my stuff's outside and inside, that's my sanctuary, man. That's where nobody can touch me. And no matter what's going on in my personal life or business life, I can drop that right at the door and be a savage, man. Throw a little Pantera on, and I'm friggin' ready to rip bars in half, man. And that's what it's all about. And when you can harness that type of power mentally and physically and take that and translate to other areas of your life, you're a success, man.
The problem is with it is that most strongmen, myself included, like if someone had a magic wand right now and said, I'll make you a millionaire or I'll give you a 1,000-pound deadlift, I'd be like, 1,000-pound deadlift, let's do it, bro.
Me too. Me too.
I would not even blink a fucking eye, man.
Yeah, but you know what it is? You know what it is? It's that obsession to be great, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. You know, I remember when I tore my bicep, I didn't even ask them to give me anything. I didn't ask them to do surgery on it, right? Nothing. The first thing that came out of my lips was, am I ever going to lift again?
Yep.
That's what I asked them, man. And most guys, even though they know the answer, are going to ask that anyways, because lifting is no different than breathing to me.
Yep.
It's DNA, man, and I don't know how it gets there. I don't know if it's just the way you were constructed, because my father used to work out and box, but nobody in my family other than my brothers and sister, that no one ever lifted weights. My mom used to ski a lot and do shit like that, but they were never – and, you know, it wasn't as prevalent as it is now, obviously, but that's what they always said. We don't know where the heck you got all that stuff from. Well, you know, who knows, man? It doesn't really matter to me, but we got something that's very unique. And I don't even know if I'd call this a sport. I'd like to give it a different designation because I think it's better than a sport. But I'll tell you right now, if you're ever lucky enough to sink your teeth into some steel and some stone, by all means, do it. Because I'll tell you what, you don't know what you're missing till you do it. And you look at stuff now, Marshall, you got kids.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the obese right now. It's off the charts in this country and all over the world. When you got 10-year-old kids having to dump insulin in them, we got a big-ass problem, my friend.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's because we flat-out stopped valuing strength. You know, nowadays
I agree.
We protect and glorify the weak. And,
yep.
You know, nowadays it's not like if you're the biggest, strongest guy that you got something going for you. It's like, well, you must be a dumbass meathead. And that's
yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's true, yep. Right? But that wasn't the way it used to be. The biggest and strongest was also the guy that was doing the most and so on and so forth. But it's not like that anymore. So we stopped placing value on it. And now it's kind of a cult sport. You know, it's like one of those things like, well, if you're a big and strong guy, you're on the fringe of society. But really, society as a whole should be big and strong. And the weak should be on the fringe. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, and, you know, you see what's going on. And, you know from being around everything, me too. I mean, I have to use media for what I do, but man, when I'm walking around seeing young kids, all they're doing is texting, and they don't know how to talk, and they don't know how to pull their goddamn head up, and they look frail. I'm like, and you wonder why you're a target? I mean, look, I'm not a guy that believes anybody should put their damn hands on you. I got a real problem with that still to the today. And I'm talking even like in a loving way, I got a real weird thing with people putting their hands on me. And I've got to know you or girlfriend or whatever, but you know, there comes a point in time too, that you got to stop being a punching bag for people. And I think kids today, I think they're a lot meaner, and especially now with social media, what they do, you read about kids that commit suicide and all this, which is insane, because I'm like, your parents can't know everything, but where the hell are the parents, man? You know, it's like, why is this breakdown all over the friggin' place, man? And I always said, strong mind, strong body, you're going to be able to dig yourself out of anything, no matter how many times you're knocked down. As long as you're looking up, you can always get up.
Go ahead. That's the thing with that too, man, is honestly like most strongmen, and I think Derek Poundstone said this in that Muscle and Fitness article. He said, if you want to be a good strongman, you got to have daddy issues. I think a lot of strongmen, when they were younger, they were knocked down, and they realized that if they made their body strong, kind of the rest would follow suit. And so a lot of guys that I, in the pro strongman world especially, if they were being honest, would tell you some pretty fucked up stories about stuff that happened to them when they were younger, when they were
kids,
stuff like that. And so I think that somewhere along the line, we decided to draw a line between the mind and the body, rather than saying they're both one and the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's just, you ask right there, where are the parents? They're doing the same thing the kids are. They're weak. They're not enjoying life. They're not out there, you know, grabbing it by the horns, you know?
Yep. Oh, without a doubt. You know, I can tell you, my father was very hard on me being the oldest. I mean, all full blood Italians.
Sure.
You know, and I'm glad he was, because who knows, you know, today, I don't know, with all the shit, lose a job, start from nothing, start building a business, you know, trying to turn the corner right here. There is no trying. I will. We're almost there, I feel, et cetera, et cetera. Great home. You know, I had obviously a brother that was very ill. Never had to worry about anything, but my father was a military. Never showed a lot where today, you know, they'd say he wasn't touchy-feely. I always knew my father loved all of us, man, and he was a good, good man. Never a problem, nothing like that. But he was very hard, well, on everybody, but he was very hard on me. And I think without all that, I don't know what would have happened when everything went south with me, because his principles have guided me through my whole life.
Sure.
And I can remember as a kid, I wasn't a real big kid, and I remember this one guy. He was about 4 years older than me. He used to pick on me all the time. I'd never take any shit from him. He'd beat me up. I mean, I'd have to walk on the other side of the road sometimes, man. And I remember one day we were over by the back of this church, and I was coming through, and there was a big dumpster there. This fucker, he got me and, like, picked me up. He had another bigger guy with him. They threw me in a fucking dumpster, right? And they wouldn't let me out right away, and I finally got out. And I remember, man, when I started lifting and training, and I saw that guy a year later, and he came up to me and was saying shit, I fucking knocked that motherfucker right out, man. I popped him so hard, and I had no fear of him or anything. And that kind of started the whole revolution with me with everything, because it wasn't so much about – see – we used to go down the Y and all that, and we'd always wise off. And the bigger guy, we had it coming, all right? But this was just some guy that was older that used to bully. I don't even like using that word. He just was a fucking asshole that thought he could pick on any kid, you know? And he picked on a lot of kids. I wasn't the only one, but I was kind of one of the few, two, three, that would not cower to him and always mouth off at him. And I'd push at him and all that. I wasn't afraid of him. And he was a lot bigger. I mean, you got to remember, he was probably like a 17-year-old, and I was maybe 13 and a half, and I was much smaller than him. But let me tell you, after that bitch did that to me, and I'd been lifting with sand weights prior to that too, it was all over. The guy never said another word to me again, man. Never. And was it a lucky punch? Probably. Probably, man. I put that dude down.
Yep.
And I mean, I was scared to death after. I ran. I'm not going to lie. I ran. I was like, this guy's going to get up and kill me, man. But I never had a problem with it again. And you know what the nice thing about that is, too? Then the word's out about you, and people don't screw with you at all, man.
Right.
None. Well, I also got that real vicious Italian temper, too.
Right.
So that helps you out, too. But, you know, I'm not glorifying something like that, but, you know, When you're strong bodily and you're strong mentally, it's very important.
Sure.
And I'm not saying go out and cause problems and all that, but you know something? If it comes your way, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's always not a guarantee either, but at least, as they say, you got a puncher's chance in the boxing world.
Yep.
So go ahead, take it away, my friend.
What do you have? Yeah, I agree. But I think that is changing a little bit. I think our generation is raising a little bit stronger kids. You know, I know.
Definitely.
I think raising kids that are stronger than most. And like you said, you know, I didn't have the best relationship with my parents growing up, but I'm thankful that they did what they did, because if not, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And, you know, I like what I do. I like what I do a lot. I'm happy to be a strong man again, no matter where my career goes, what I've done. You know, I've accomplished what I've accomplished. I've had some slow points. I've had some slumps, and had some high points, and this, that, and the other. Ultimately, I enjoy this. I'm happy with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy.
Hell yeah.
And unfortunately, you don't hear a lot of guys say that a lot. You know, they get to a point where it's like, I hate this, or I'm sick of it, this, that, and the other. But I'm not one of those people, man. I enjoy the sport. I enjoy everything about it for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. I don't have a day where I'm just not thankful that I'm not thankful for having it. To me, it's been an honor and a privilege. All I can say is this. I don't know what I would do without it. Let me put it, and I don't ever really want to think about it. And I've always had a goal. At 100 years old, I still want to be able to squat 250 pounds. That's a long ways away, but if you can get how I think, that's how I think.
Yeah.
I think it's the greatest thing. I know, you know, it's an hour, believe it or not, already, and I really want to talk about the log lifts and some more stuff, but Marshall, I'd love to have you back, man, and yeah. We could really then get into more specifics. But if there's anything you want to summarize, and obviously – if you got a website or anything to that, give that out. Let me give my information. If you'd hang on the line for a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Check out blacklegionathleticgear.com and obviously CerberusStrength.com. Those two guys are really kind of supporting me quite a bit lately and keeping me going. So I'm enjoying it.
Okay. You got everything then?
Yeah, that's it. That's good.
Okay. All right. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111, Athlete's Choice with Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, Steven, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, period, S-A-N-T-A-N-G-E-L-O, .75, tell him we sent you. Obviously, www.grasslandbeef.com, John Wood. It's also known as U.S. Wellness Meats, full of the benefits of CLA omega-3s, grass-started, grass-finished. They also have grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and wellness products. So check them out. Don't forget about Jason Fulner, planofyourworkouts.com. Also, you can get it on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. Also, too, StrongerGrip.com. Don't forget, they make everything. They make gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling trophies, as you've seen on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine. Also, custom hammers for Mick Dodge and everybody out there. And don't forget about this. Enter the contest to win that sledgehammer. All you got to do is send a video of your best lift. We don't care what you're lifting. Send it. And when you upload it to YouTube, make sure you put on the subject line FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash and what the lift is. Go down if you want in the box below and explain the lift. And also, please put your email address in there because we can't get to you if you don't have an email address. And also, too, if whether you're on the show or not and you win, you'll be able to come on Motivation and Muscle and do a show with me, and we'll probably do a three-way with Ryan Pitts, too. So it'll be really interesting. Don't forget to go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. 10 paragraphs to make you think, commit, take action. Also on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success, and the winner's circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. We've probably got between fragmented writing all over. I've probably got three books sitting there, and we've probably got at least 4 to 5 products that can come out, but we are in the midst of making some currency, and we're making this all go big time. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. and check that all out. Also, too, like I said, sponsorship, it's huge. Go out to motivationmuscle.com or FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Fill out the form. Like I said, we're going to be around for 25 years. Come be a part of my family, millions strong. This show smokes. I mean, when you hear what we do with Marshall, just an example of what's going on here. So go out, fill that out, be part of my family, and I promise you'll have the best 25 years of your life. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, motivationandmuscle.com. If there's a specific show you'd like me to do, or if you'd like Marshall and I to do a show, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. I'm sure we can come up with something for you. Don't forget, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everyone's given us, and I appreciate that. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. On Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these 5 things. Number 1, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give them an honest answer. Remember, words can do so much for so many people. Be somebody that promotes something that's positive instead of being caught all up in the bullshit we hear every day. Be that. Be that steward of strength. Secondly, as my mom told us when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Walk around. Take a look. Look at all the people walking with their head down. Or look at them in the eyes. They look beaten to death, man. Just keep looking. I'm telling you, you'll find it everywhere. Next, if you're going out like me tonight, go out and just bend iron, crush iron, throw it, squat it, press it. And if you're going to lift some stones, turn them into dust. As our Hoosa Steel Stone says, in blood red on each side, domination. We are domination. And I'm telling you right now, man, we're going to have millions and millions of listeners. And we don't follow any path. We clear cut our own. And as I say now all the time, go out and dominate and obliterate everything in your way. And as I always say, too, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That's like one of the best things anybody's ever said to me. Russell will say that till the day we sign off here. And that's all I want to say about that. Marshall, thank you for being on the show, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anytime. So for Marshall White, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We're going to get him back on here, I promise. And all I can say is we got a lot more shows this week. Listen in. We're going to have a lot more guests. And, you know, like I said, go out and make a difference in the world. Don't stand on the sidelines. Tell everybody about the show, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.